I'm on the road to recovery, step by step.
Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday night Alcoholics and God Step Series. Let's have our joke now.
All right, cool. Hey, I'm Spencer, an alcoholic joke teller. And I got a good one from A Rabbit Walks Into a Bar, Best Jokes and Cartoons from A.A. Grapevine. There was exactly $17.04 left on her paycheck when she got home late that night. Her husband read her the riot act, and when he'd finished, the drunk wife said, "Well, at least I bought something for the house." The husband brightened. "What was it?" he asked. "A round of drinks."
For the house. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Marianne. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation. So please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise that might or will distract others. Take this time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. Is everybody ready? Let's get started.
Accendere lumen sanctimus in fundamore.
everyone would like to join me in the fog light prayer, it's on the screens on the left and the right. God, let your love shine through me like a fog light, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me. There is a solution from the big book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we've discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. And I have asked Ben to read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is.
Hi, my name is Ben. I'm an alcoholic. Spiritual experience. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to receive, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are with the psychologist William James calls the educational variety because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think that this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most empathetically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one needs to have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer.
So please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane meeting mode or just turn it off. It is my honor and privilege to invite our dear friend up to the podium tonight. I don't know about you, but I think the spiritual experience is exactly what this journey we've been on with Paulette is. I know personally, and many of us have been just having a beautiful spiritual experience with Paulette through the steps. So come on up, my love. Yeah. You bet.
See why I need Rebecca? I got my own personal space. I am home. It's nice to feel at home. Very nice. Hello, fellow travelers. What's the matter with you? I know you can talk. You're an alcoholic like me. We talk too much. But it's nice to be back here. tonight with you. I was looking forward to it all week. It's amazing. I keep saying to you that when Mike asked me to do this, I thought about 12 weeks, and I was like, oh, God, I don't want to do that for 12 weeks. And today I said, thank you, God, that I get to do this. It's a privilege and an honor to be with my fellow travelers, to be home. This is home for me. Tonight we are on the sixth step. And I was telling, talking with my sponsee on the way over here, and I had told her about, spoiler alert, that when you're working with a sponsee on a certain step, all of a sudden you find yourself that you are working the step too, and you're wondering, what the hell am I doing on this step? But it's the amazing and subtle way in which this program of action, this design for living, works. It always is. That's why it's so important for me, working with others. So important, doing service for others. So important, because it always allow me to grow. And I wouldn't grow if I am not getting outside of myself. And this step is about growing. It's about change. Change is the name of the game, baby. Change. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. But Bill Wilson, our co-founder, calls it patient improvement. So we'll see. We'll see what the God of my understanding says tonight. And as you know, I'm going to start with reading my set-aside prayer. This is a prayer that my previous sponsor, Dorothy H., gave to me. And it helps to balance me and keeps me calm before I open my mouth and deliver the message of hope from the God of my own understanding. And it, many versions of this, but this is the one that speaks to my spirit. Dear God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself, this book, my disease, these steps, and especially about you, dear God, so that I may have an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please help me to see the truth. Thank you for your indulgence. I am an alcoholic, and I have a no home group, and my home group is the One Day at a Time group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My home group meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m., I am sponsored, and I sponsor. To me, that's the difference between work and working. I do have a sober date, and my sober date is January 28, 1995. Too many nines. And my name is Paulette. Hello, fellow travelers. We are on step six, and as you know, I like to read the step as it's written. I am an alcoholic that like to make stuff up. So I read the step as it's written. I don't care how many times I am doing or repeating this step or continue to do it. It helps me to read it exactly the way it's written. And step six says, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. What a mouthful. It is a mouthful for me. I will be focusing more on this step from the 12 and 12 because Bill fleshes it out for me so I can identify and see myself in it. But don't be fooled by that one line in the big book, because that one line in the big book that talks about we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character is chock full of the previous five steps in that one line, if you are working it the way it's laid out. But I want to start with, we're entirely ready. Because you know how I work the steps. This is, by the way, this is my experience, strength, and hope. It isn't yours. This is how it works for me, and this is what I do, and I'm just sharing with you. So if you get anything from it, that's great. But it sure helps me to break down the steps the way it, I do it. So we're entirely ready is what I would like to focus on. We'll see what God says. But it is a state that is different from any other state that I am being asked to be in. We're entirely ready, to me, is a state of high consciousness, of readiness. I don't know about you, but I was never, ever been in that state. Mentally, physically, spiritually, I've never been in that state of being entirely ready before I came into Alcoholics Anonymous and decided to join this way of life and take the suggestion. So what I really want to talk about that state, because this state, that's the crux and really the root of what step six is asking me to do. It is to get ready to do some things. It's a state that I have to be in. But what does it take, Paulette, to get into that state that he's talking about? And before I could get into that, it's a position sometimes. It mentally, emotionally, for me, it's a position to get into. Because guess what? It's talking about my character defects. And I don't know about you, but there are some of my character defects that I'm in love with. Truth be told, until they stop working and it becomes objectionable, which is what six is telling me. So it's about growing up, change. It's also about character building. Now, the previous five steps have given me some tools. Talks about willingness, honesty, faith and hope and courage and integrity. I don't know about you, I'm an alcoholic, that those spiritual tools were foreign to me, especially integrity. But I have come through it by following the directions and doing those previous five steps that gave me this ability to be able to tackle six. By no means is six an easy step. There's no easy way out. It is important for me because I am now in the process, in the position, being prepared for some serious change to happen. I am not the same woman that crawled into the room because change is constantly occurring because it requires me to do something. How do I get into a state like that in six? How do I get ready? I've got to think about the things that prevented me from being in that state. And I found out when I did my written inventory. Notice I said written. And written inventory. And then I shared my fifth step with another human being so that I can hear it and they can improve upon the truth that I found in five. And so that I can understand who I am, what I am, and the things I've done, and the root cause of why I did the things that I did. This isn't about alcohol. This is about alcoholism. And I've got it. Five prove it. And so when I look at my exact nature of my wrong, it talks about being dishonest. It talks about being fearful, frightened, inconsiderate. And so one of my defects of character that I loved so much is silent scorn. Now I hear some chuckling, so I have some company in that. I loved it. I talked about it briefly last week. It is one of the defects of character that I excelled at. I prided myself on it. And I practice it a lot. so that it became second nature. Now, some of you may not know what it is, but I can give you an example of what it is for me. I am not that far removed from it that I can't tell you, because left to my own devices, it can come back just like that. And so one of the things I used to do when I wanted to practice, used to be my love of my life, silent scorn with Ed, because I usually do it with the people who love me unconditionally. That's how sick I am. And I ask Ed to do something for me. I don't give him specific. I don't communicate clearly, because after all, he should be able to read my mind. You are with me for so long, I shouldn't have to spell everything out. You should be able to even finish my sentences. So when I ask you to do something for me, I expect you to carry it out to a T. Do not deviate from the script. Of course he's going to fail. No human being can live up to our standards. So the minute he fails, what happens? I don't talk to him. And he will come home and he will be explaining why things didn't go the way I asked him to do. You didn't give me specific information, so I tried to make it up to make sure it worked. It didn't work. I don't know who he's talking to, because it certainly isn't me. So I am walking away as he's explaining why it failed. And my mind says, this is my mind, do not even look at him. Keep walking up those stairs. Let him feel the failure, the pain, all of the things that he has just brought home because he didn't carry out what I wanted. This isn't one day. This isn't 2 days. This is a whole week. Now, I don't sleep each night. My sleep is up. I am, because there's no peace. There's no serenity. But that's not important to me. What's important to me is that I make sure you feel the pain you have brought home from not doing what I ask you to do. Bill says selfishness and self-centeredness is the root cause of all my problems. That's the deal. It is rooted in my character defects. Whenever I am engaging in dishonesty or being inconsiderate to others, whenever I am in fear, whenever I am doing these things are all a manifestation of my selfishness. This is what he's talking about. And I can tell you that because I practice it so often. But then I saw it when I wrote it down in the columns that I had to do. And I realized that a human being could do this kind of damage and not be aware of it. And so when Bill says we're entirely ready, he's talking about being aware of the harms that I have done, the defects of character that still operate in my life. And let me tell you, I keep saying to people all the time, I am not super sober. I've got to keep coming, because I have been in the rooms where I sit there and unbeknownst to me, somebody says something and my mind says, shut the hell up. Just like that. And I'm telling you, right away, if I'm not checking that, it goes like a snowball effect. Because one thought leads to another thought, to another thought. And before, remember, my disease lives in my mind. So once I leave the thought unchecked, it starts to take on a life of its own. The obsession starts. And then it becomes only a matter of time before it turns into action. And then I'm off to the races, as they say in the book. So I know how it works that way because I am sober and it happens. It happens. No, I know it. So when 6 says, this is the step that separates the men from the boys. He's talking about maturity versus immaturity. He's talking about growing up and actually being an adult for the first time in my life. Actually having my emotions respond appropriately to every emotional situation. That's what he's talking about. How do I get into a state like that, Bill says. He's talking about a state of being capable and being willing to recognize that these same defects, shortcomings, harms, whatever you want to call them, sins that I have been operating on for all my adult life that has held me back into a childlike state of mind. So I react like a child, petulant child, by the way, stomping my feet when things don't go my way, having temper tantrum in a grown-up body. How awful does that look on you? That don't wear so well anymore. You know, as one of my sponsors says, when I'm wah-wahing, all I need is a pacifier. You know, grown-ups acting. 6 is where this comes, the rubber meets the road to get into this state. And he's talking about this, that I have to be able to try enough willingness. Now, where is that willingness coming from? Now, I talked about how Bill uses architectural terms in one way, and he uses the accounting terms for the fourth step inventory. And that is, to me, is so important because in the first step, he talks about how once I became willing to admit defeat and give this a sincere try, this way of life, in no time, the obsession to drink was lifted 100%. Now, this is subtle because it kind of set us up to think that 6 step is going to be the same way. But don't forget, the book tells me that the God of my understanding do not render me white as snow. I am a human being living a spiritual experience. I will have to go through some struggles. I will have to grow up, growing pains, he calls it. And so one of the things that I had to learn was that, yeah, God can remove all of these defects of character from me. But what will happen to me? And I would think about that oftentimes in early sobriety. Now, here's the kicker. I used to think when I early sobriety, I wasn't even 3 years sober yet. And I would go to step meetings. I was mandated to go to step meetings. And I would hear people talk about how they are getting ready to have this defects removed from them because they cannot deal with it anymore and all of that. And my mind says, what will happen to you, Paulette, if all of those defects is gone? You will be one empty shell. there won't be anything left of you. And I'm thinking that, oh my God. Now, don't forget, this is a woman that used to dance on top of tables and bars. So if God removed that from me, it is not a loss. But I'm thinking that I didn't come in here thinking I was a saint. Far from it. I wasn't an angel. Oh my God, there was no halo. I came in here with a lot of problems. So why am I concerned about getting ready to God remove those problems, the things that caused me to do the things that I did that made me miserable? I had no peace, no serenity. So Sixth Step is telling me, think about those things. And I'd like to read this to you because I think it is something that is important. It's in the 12 and 12. On page 64, when men and women pour so much alcohol into themselves that they destroy their lives, me, they commit the most unnatural act. It is an unnatural act for what we have done to ourselves. To be killing ourselves in this way, it is not natural. It's not of the God of my understanding of the way I treated myself. And yet I come in here because I want to defy my instinctive desire. Remember, my instinctive desire, creation gave me instincts. That's what force says. It's a natural God-given right. And yet I pour so much alcohol on it that I was destroying my natural instincts. And six says, he continues, he says, I am defying all of that instincts for survival, for companionship, for all of these natural instincts. But my ability for food and shelter, he says, I'm doing this. All of this that was made for my own self-preservation, I was willing to destroy it. Damn near did too. And what happened was, he says, until I was humbled by the beating of John Barleycorn on alcohol, crawled in on my knees and got into AA. And this is what he says. He says, I was so humbled that the grace of God could enter. That's the kind of state that he's talking about in We're Entirely Ready. It is a state that is of the supernatural. You can't just get there by snapping your fingers. You've got to do some work. You have to become aware of what and who you are. This is why he gave us the definition of humility in 5. Who and what I am. He says it here in step 5. Before we even get to 7. Because what I am desiring to do with this part of the 6th step is to grow into the likeness and the image of my Creator. I can't get there if I've got all these defects that I'm not willing to get ready to be removed. Because then he shows me how they are. He says, what happens? He says, if you think about it, he says, and I love this when he talks about this on page 66. He says, no one wants to be so proud that he's called a braggart. No, I don't want to be called that. But there was a time when I was a know-it-all. You know when you came into AA? It happened to me. Every time somebody says something, you said, I know. I know. And every time you said, I know. You don't know nothing. But you are a know-it-all. So I may not be a braggart, but I'm a know-it-all. Is it because it's a lesser defect? Bill says, there's no difference. Who are you to think you're different? And then he says here, he talks about it when he says, are you so greedy that you should be labeled a thief? Lustful enough to rape. Gluttonous enough to ruin your own health. No one wants to be agonized by the chronic pain of envy. Or to be paralyzed, here goes my favorite one, sloth. Of course, no human being wants to be at rock bottom level. Those are rock bottom. But then he says, in case you think you're not at that level, don't congratulate yourself. He says, here's why. He says, because after all, when I indulge in all these things at a lesser degree, it's pure self-interest. I cannot become entirely ready if I am in self. I've got to get out of self. And the only way he says I got to do it is to look at all of these things exactly how they affect my life. The quality of my life is affected by my defects of character and how often I use them in every part of my life, every relationship. In this, I'm talking about sober. Because no longer is the drink problem is a problem. I'm sober. And so he says, here's what I need to recognize. He says, admit you really love them. That's the first thing. He says, and then he says, the next thing is, the only reason why you want to feel, to brag about how good you are, is to make yourself feel superior over other people. I am one of those people who used to like doing that, because I've got to make sure you know who I am. Little bit superior over you. Ego. Building the ego at your expense. Can't give me a peace of mind. I can't sleep. Because it bothers me now because I'm not drinking. So the things I do to you, I go to bed with it. I toss and turn. No peace is to be had here. I am now currently discontented, ill at ease, and irritable because I know what I am doing is not right. So 6 talks about this in details in the 12 and 12. He says self-righteous anger also can be enjoyable. And what happens when it does? It's a perverse way, he says, of actually taking satisfaction. And here comes the killer, that many people annoy me. I don't know about you, but I am one of those, that's one of my favorites. That's an annoying SOB. Perverse satisfaction. This is what I'm talking about. God's children. Who am I? What am I? And then he says, and here's the other one. He says, gossip barbed with our anger is a polite form of murder by character assassination. How many times have you sat in meetings and character assassinated your fellow travelers? I have. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and keep coming. Because when I do it, it doesn't feel right. It feels like I'm talking about me. I am actually murdering you. How many times people have taken bets on me? She's not going to make it. And I said, I'll show you. Another way of showing pride, going without a pride, my pride, lust, my envy, my sloth. All of this, all rooted in self. So the third column in step four, what I said when I did fourth step with you, belongs to the God of my understanding. It is all about my natural God-given instincts that I have used far exceed their function and have ruined myself. Now they are here in the middle of my life, sober, and I need to do something about it. And what he's talking about when he says gluttony, that ruins my health. And here's how I do the justification and rationalization. I'm taking my comfort, which means that I have a right to eat whatever I want to eat when I want to eat it, no matter what, if I have diabetes. That's what I do and the thinking. To a greater or less degree, everyone, whether alcoholic or not, is affected by this. We just have it in an end degree because we are the people of more. And so what he's talking about is I need to see all of these and how it affects the quality of my sobriety. Being entirely ready means I have to get into a state of consciousness where that third step, where that decision that I made becomes so important that it locks me in, that I am willing to allow myself to be readied so that that God that has been keeping me and locking me in, whenever I am ready, those things will be removed. But it can't be if I don't get into that space. Sixth step is about getting ready. That's why I like to do the steps separate. Because six is not having God remove anything. It's about you preparing yourself to have these things that you now know are objectionable to the Spirit. Which means that it is keeping the God of your understanding out. You wonder why I don't have relationships that are healthy. Why? Because of the things that I do. I can't be trusted. Integrity, no integrity. Even though I am still in AA, doing and just racking up time. But no qualitative content. And so what happened is, what I need to do is, he says, what I need to do is start to think about these things. He says, so stop thinking about Paulette. Stop thinking about having a self-determined goal. You limit yourself. You know how you tell yourself, Lord, I just want a little bit more. I want to be just a little bit kind to this X amount of people. Because that side of people, I just don't want to be bothered with. I know, right? Because see, you're laughing because you've done it. You're right. We're limiting ourselves to have just this much peace, just this much serenity, just this much soundness of mind, just this much faith in what might happen, hope. We limit ourselves. Bill calls it self-determined ideals. I determine what ideals I'm going to work towards. He says, sixth step says, if you get ready, you will have to change that to the God ideal. So you understand right away that this is not for babies. This is for people who want to grow up. Because you no longer going to limit yourself. And the God of my understanding continues to grow in width, in height, in depth. It's endless. So I can have as much of the God of my understanding as I want. And so six is saying, but do some work. Look at all of the things that prevents you from making that God grow. And these are the things. And it only happens when I am awake and in relationship with you, that I am able to see it. Because when I am by myself, I can't stand myself. So now when I go out in the world, I am interacting with you, and all of these defects of character comes out. And since I am the scene of the crime, it all exists in me, then I have to show it. What's happening to me? So I get to a point where all of this becomes objectionable. But here is the kicker. Even though my obsession for alcohol was lifted out of me when I came to AA, 100%, the obsession was removed, and I cannot tell you what day it happened for me, but it did. Even though that was 100%, the remaining 11 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous program, this design for living, is a degrees of progress that I get, which means I have to continue. I don't get 100% of those. I have, because you see, a drunk like me, if I get 100% every day, what's going to happen is that I won't want to work anymore. I will sit there and start having bonbons. I won't do it. And when you call me to do service, I will lie. Become dishonest. Because I've gotten everything removed 100%. Why bother? If I can work for it, you should. That would be my thinking. Because the disease I have is very insidious. So now I get this by degrees. I don't know when, but I know I must be in this state. This is what readiness is. And willingness, the same willingness that I had when I came in to get this program. It has increased 1,000-fold by the time I get to 6. So now I know if I am talking about you, I am killing you. If it starts to bother me, I'm in that state of readiness. When I know that I am envious of you in such a distasteful way, and it bothers me, I know. These are the things that comes to the surface when I am interacting in the world today. It isn't you, it's me. I'm in self. And so when he says, what I need to do is, I need to start thinking about, why am I creating myself excess misery? Excessive misery. We are our own problems. We create it. And these are the things that helps me to create excessive misery. So what I am trying to get to you is, 6-step is all about readiness to grow up. Change is going to happen. Do you want to be dragged into it, or you want to be willingly led by a God of your own understanding that will guide you? My thing is, it takes what it takes. Because 1-6 says change is necessary. Says change is necessary at this stage for me. But am I willing is to get in that place? So I want to tell you this because that's the crux of the 6-step. Entirely ready. To look at and hold up yourself some more to the light. What am I doing that is making me so unhappy? All caused by me. So I always like to talk about it because still to this day it happens. And so when he says, I need to use this step on all my problems other than alcohol, he made that distinction. Because alcohol is not a problem. It's a symptom. He says, I need to have what he calls brand new adventure in open-mindedness. You can't do six with a closed mind because you're not able to see or hear. You keep saying, I know, I know, I know. Your mind is closed. And so what he says here, he says, what I will need is to raise my eyes towards perfection, the God ideal. I should shoot for perfection, not limited ideals. Don't limit yourself, which means your God is too small. Make your God larger. And then he says here, he says, and remember to walk in that direction. You're growing. I like to tell my sponsees, they're growing up nicely. When I see that they're walking that way. And so what happened is that he says, whenever I am walking towards holding up my defects that I now know that are objectionable to me, the questions I need to ask myself is only one. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you can ask yourself that question with all humility, honesty, and sincerity, then you are ready to take six steps. But you can't ask yourself that. He says, do not close the door and said, this I will never give up. That's deadly. Because my defects can kill me. People have killed themselves without picking up a drink. I have been sober long enough to see it and gone to funerals for that. Because what Bill says, we fail to enlarge in our spiritual life. This is about enlarging our spiritual life. And I'd like to say, he says, delay is dangerous and rebellion may be fatal. He's talking about me. And so what happened is rationalization and justification is deadly for me. And so I like to end with what makes me keep me coming for six. Those of you who know and have heard me with my six step, I do it for me because I am visual. I talk about soup because every time I make a pot of soup, I see something on top of it. Oops, that's a defect. So I'm going to start by telling you I am a very good cook and it's not egotistical. It just is. I can cook from the time I was 8 years old. Very good cook. Nobody asked me to make them a dish, please, not after this. I'm just telling you this because I want to explain to you how I see step six in the cooking that I love. It's a skill that I have developed and love doing it. It is a spiritual practice for me when I am cooking. And one of the things I like to make is soup. And I like to talk about it in six steps because to me, it is a perfect example of showing me what defects of character looks like in real time. And so I like to buy good ingredients. I am an alcoholic. I don't spend money foolishly anymore on alcohol, so I can buy good ingredients. I like good ingredients in my cooking. And so I start with olive oil. I can use Italian or Spanish. Either one is best. It's good for me. Nice taste to it. Onion, shallots, scallion, thyme, garlic, flat leaf parsley. Those are my herbs. Chop them to specific size. Get a nice soup pot, good ones. Put it on my stove and coat the bottom of my pot. Once my herbs have been chopped to the specification that I need, I lower the flame and I put it in so that they can get to know each other in the pot. when you saute such fine herbs, it smells delicious. It smells delicious because it permeates goodness in your home. Once they start to saute, don't let them burn. Lower the flame. Chop your carrots, your celery, your potato, whatever else vegetable you like. Chop them to bite-sized pieces. Once you got that done, I like dark meat of the chicken, so thighs and legs, and they're chopped to perfection. Put them in and coat them to get them to know their herbs and spices. Start to let everybody get to know each other. Sauté, all of that. Wonderful smell is going on. I have my kettle boiling with hot boiling water. Once all of that is sautéed, all my vegetable is sautéed. I didn't listen to Marianne when she said, turn off your phone. And once I saute all of that, I pour all of that water. It becomes a boiling, a rolling boil, it's called. And it starts to smell delicious. Everything is in. But once it starts boiling, you're going to notice that some little oily black little scum comes to the top of the pot. I don't care how good your ingredients are. It always happens. At the top of that boil is some nice oily black scum that is about to discolor the taste of your soup. I equate that to the defects of character that I have. That shows me that in all of the goodness that's within me, God-given, my character defects have been discoloring my personality. And my soup teaches me that every time I make it. And so when I get ready, in a state of readiness, all I have to do is close my eyes and think about the scum on top of my soup that is discoloring my personality, that has become objectionable to me. Am I ready? I am ready. Thanks.
Yeah. I'm hungry. Let's thank Paulette one more time. So let's have our secretary report.
Hi, my name is Brandon. I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary, in keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. The baskets are now going around. We also have QR codes on the chair backs. I've asked Jonathan to come up and read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it truly means to be a recovered alcoholic.
I'm Jonathan, alcoholic and an addict. Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered but not cured, that presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. That's from page 23. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
1940 style big book sponsorship from the forward to the second edition, Alcoholics Anonymous of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried. 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, came to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Is anyone needing a sponsor? If you're too shy, you can come up and stand by the piano and somebody will help you. And then announcements. Broward County Intergroup is where you can buy AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup is also responsible for creating our Where and When and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. And then we have Broward County Institutions Committee is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get to an AA meeting, such as jails, detoxes, and rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedules at the 12-step house. And then here's some upcoming service opportunities. I lied. We have Paulette till May 2nd. And then we have, of course, our home group's Monday night's Big Book Study Workshop, where the Big Book comes alive. Join us for fellowship at 6:30, and the workshop starts at 7:15. We have CDs, mugs, large print Big Books, the Little Red Big Book, and Big Book dictionaries for sale. We meet here every Thursday promptly at 7:15, and we ask you to be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bells.
Never again. Now that I understand. just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man. Getting on my knees puts me back on my feet again. On my own, I just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man.
When you laughing, bah, 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 when you laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you crying, on the rain, so stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby, and I hope. Thank you.
this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, 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 let it
Michael Chase. Here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Fog is lifted. I see the light, count my blessings when I go to sleep at night, and I dream now. Fear has left me and I'm standing tall. A pile of bricks now lies where once there stood a wall that I hid behind. For all this time, sometimes it takes a burning bush or a great white light to set you right. Well, my eyes don't cry now, and I'm out to dry. Pity party's over, the guest of honor has arrived, and he's on my side. For the first time in my life, are green now, growing vines. They twist and turn each way. Flowers blooming all the time outside my door. Like never before, I had to change everything to realize that today is the best day of my life. Broken man, I travel far and wide through the great divide, through his own heart, yeah. chugging my guitar. And I play my songs, and people sing along, and stomp their feet and raise their arms. And here in this moment that we share, nothing could come out.
That song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you?
Yeah.
steals my dignity. Got one man that just won't set me free. Well, clap your hands, you believe me, children. A one man soul, the one thing in my life, baby, that could have made me another man's wife. So, Lord, shine your light on me tonight. So, Lord, shine your light on me tonight. Shine your light, oh, shine your light. Lord, shine your light on me tonight. Shine your light on me tonight. Shut up!